a little different up here than they were 20 years ago. It's been changed a little. But several weeks ago, actually months ago now, I thought, and this is my hearing that I have problems with, I thought I'd been asked to prepare a lesson on stewardship and present it some other time. Well, I did prepare a lesson, but I never did present it. So I'm going to present it to you this morning about stewardship. James, of course, is the half-brother of Jesus. His mother was Mary. His father was Joseph. And that made him a half-brother of Jesus. The James I'm talking about emerged very slowly in biblical times. In the early part of Christianity, there's not a whole lot revealed about it. But as time goes on, he becomes a stalwart member of the Lord's church. According to Brother J.W. McGarvey, he was the one who taught first that the Gentiles are free from the law of Moses. It was never given to them. But James, later in life, was a great man. That is, he commanded respect, not only from those who were members of the Lord's church, but those outside of the Lord's church. He was a great influence for the church. Historians say his life ended in martyrdom in AD 62. He was in Jerusalem, in the temple, the Jewish temple, discussing with the scribes and scholars in the temple the fact of Jesus and his being our Savior. And they got upset with him, the record says, and they threw him out the window. Not only that, they went out and stoned him to death. And so that's what ended his life. This book opens with considerations for trials and tribulations that each Christian faces. And it has to do with stewardship. Now, what is a steward? A steward is a person or an individual who has been hired or enlisted to watch over the property of someone else. And that's what our responsibility is in the Lord's work. We have a responsibility to do that. There are at least six major subjects in this book. Number one is the gift of God and how they are manifested in trials. Two, also how we are to use them as stewards of God. Now that's the idea here, that we're stewards of God. Number two, attitudes toward the word which begets, that is, causes a new birth. And that's what happens when one becomes a Christian. They experience a new birth. They're born of the water and the Spirit, and they're resurrected from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Number three, meekness in hearing and obeying the word of God is discussed by James. Number four, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That is, we are to be faithful stewards. Number five, our religion must be pure and undefiled. We must strictly and faithfully follow the word of God. As best as we possibly can, we must obey the word of God. Number six, there is the admonition for us to be teachers. That is, we are to be stewards of God's word as Christians. This would eliminate worldliness in a lot of people's life if they were involved in being true stewards of God, if they practice all of these things that we have just mentioned. The epistle is addressed to the 12 tribes of Israel, and then, of course, to the whole world. This would certainly include all of us today. It begins with the joy of trials. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations. But we might ask, why, John, do we count this a joy? He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, it helps develop patience in each of us. Then he said, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, not wanting or needing anything. So these benefits come from God, and they do so as we exercise our stewardship faithfully. Because God is the giver of blessings. Man thinks he gives blessings, but nothing compared to what God gives. And they come as a result of or an answer to our stewardship or our faithfulness in stewardship. The idea here is that trials are not to be sought, but they should cause joy and happiness when we undergo a trial and when we overcome that trial, because we know that we are maturing as children of God. We learn here what is meant when we look at the examples Jesus gave us. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He said, look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Count it all joy is found at least 15 times in this small book of James. Count it all joy and be accepted and be a productive steward in God's family. If our faith is genuine, or if we have a genuine faith, maybe would be a better way to say it, then we will be steadfast. We will be faithful in being stewards of God. And we will be stronger, and the experience will help us to develop to a maturity as children of God. And the stronger our faith, the better we will be, because we will be more productive citizens of God. Who among us is there who doesn't need at least a barrel full of patience? I think we all do. But this means that it works out or brings out or creates what we need in our life and in our Christianity especially. Patience is to be our perfect work, or it's to produce a perfect work, consistent work. The Apostle Paul talks about your work of faith, so that you may be perfect and complete, not needing anything. And I must say that we need to be sinless as far as humanly possible. Much teaching needs to be done in the church regarding the trials and the temptations that we faced and the need for our being steadfast. That is being faithful stewards of God. Well, we are losing far too many, back to the world, because we have failed to emphasize what I'm talking about here now. New members are not being personally trained and coached, I guess would be a good word, into what it means to be Christian. Personal responsibility is faithfulness to God. That's what each child of God is responsible for. If I had to give this lesson a title, this is what mine would be: faithful stewards of God. That's what the Lord wants us to be. James, especially, throughout his whole book, emphasizes this. Elders and teachers in the Lord's church need to understand the real purpose for them being in the position that they're in. That is, their responsibility is to train others to be all that God wants them to be. I want to emphasize that when James said, you must be perfect, or you shall be perfect and entire, lacking nothing, he does not mean there moral perfection or sinfulness. We're all going to sin and make mistakes. But what he's talking about is there's a goal that we must reach in our life, in the way we act, in the way we live. It means that we have a fully developed character of a Christian. Or to put it another way, we have matured characterically, our character. Our character. Now James will say, we all sin in many ways, and we do. However, sin is not the word sanctify. That's not involved in that word. Sanctify means to set aside for God's purpose, for God's use. And so when we're sanctified, we're not made perfect. We're just set aside for God's purpose, to work for God. Much teaching needs to be done on this subject. And the title would be Trials and Steadfastness. Too many people in the Lord's church today are going back into the world. And I think one of the reasons is they haven't been really involved in the work of the church. Elders and teachers need to teach church members that the purpose of God sending his son into the world was to provide salvation for us. Another very important need to be taught on this subject is moral perfection. Morally, we need to have a good life. These things play an important part in stewardship. In James chapter 3, verse 1, beginning, he said, my brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we all offend. If any man offend in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his old tongue, our whole body. Behold, we put the bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be great and are driven by winds, they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. When I was reading this, I thought about my experience in the Navy. And I'd like to relate it to you just briefly. I went in the Navy when I was 17. My brother had been killed in January. And after I finished my 11th year in high school, I enlisted in the Navy. I had to get Dad to sign for me because I wasn't old enough. And when I got through with boot camp, they put me on a ship and sent me to the Pacific. We came back to, the war was over. We came back to San Diego and then through the canal up to New Orleans. And we put our ship in dry dock to paint the bottom of it because we were going to take it to Jacksonville, Florida, and put it in mothballs, that is, retire it. It would no longer be served. But when we left New Orleans, going down that little Mississippi, the boat was over 100 foot long, and it was a big one. Guess who was sitting at the helm steering that thing? Me. 17-year-old kid, never been in a ship like that in my life. But they had a pilot up there, and he'd say, the guy had a little knob I'd turn, he'd say, come to 6 degrees to the left or 2 degrees to the right, whatever. But he brought us out of that river. I piloted that ship out of, I know what it is. It was quite a challenge. But some of the things that we do causes us to lose our moral perfection. And how sad that is. James said, you shall be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That is, when you are a faithful steward of God. He does not mean sinless perfection, because sinlessness is not the meaning of the word sanctification. Sanctifications mean that you are set aside for God's service and that you are to render to God. As I've already said, it does not mean sinless perfection. Sinless perfection is certainly a goal that we all should try to reach in our life. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, in the New English Bible, the words are stated like this. You must be all goodness, just as your heavenly Father is all good. James also talks about man and mankind bridling their whole body. You know, I never realized that there was even such a word. I know what you do when you bridle a horse, but he said we need to bridle our whole bodies. Why? To bring it into subjection, to be faithful servants of God, faithful stewards of God. But how is this possible for us to do these things? James said, I have some positive ways about how we can do that. First, he said, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When he is talking, what he's talking about here is we are to use our words, wisdom. It is not mere knowledge that we're looking for, but we must have wisdom. The only one who truly believes in God and lets God have his way with him is one who learns by doing. And the doing has to be done by you. Nobody can do it for you. But you need to get that Bible out and read it. James says this, let him ask of God who giveth to all liberally. Not only must we study the Word of God, but we must ask God for help. Jesus says often that faith is a condition of acceptable prayer. In Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, he said, for truly I say to you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou moved, and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, then it shall be done. What a great message that is. In verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. In other words, be a faithful steward of God. Ask in faith. And we could say that word a dozen times. Ask in faith. Don't doubt when you ask God for blessing. In James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man or the person that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Enduring temptations has to do with stewardship. It does not mean that we'll always be successful, but we should strive to be. Here's what Luke says in Luke chapter 21, verse 19. In your patience, you shall win your soul. Isn't that what stewardship is all about? Winning our own soul? Sure it is. In James 1, 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. So if we're going around saying God or has been tempting me, we're wrong. God doesn't tempt anybody. And we need to understand that. Temptation to sin does not come from God. Each person is tempted when he or when they are drawn away by their own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it's full grown, bringeth forth death. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. How is it possible for us to overcome these things? By becoming and remaining faithful servants or stewards of God. We must change our attitude toward the world. James chapter 1, verse 19, he said, you know my beloved brethren, but let every man or person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The truth that James has discussed about Christians being brought forth by the word is well known to those who believe and know the truth. If the word can do what James says it can do, it can build us up. It can make us to be faithful stewards of God. And that is what we need to be. A Christian must receive the word and let it continue to control the way they think, the way they act, and the way they live every day. James adds this, be swift to hear, slow to wrath. Many will listen to the word of God when it comes to what they need to do in order to be saved. But when it comes to building your character and becoming faithful stewards of God, we're not too prone to do that. We let that slip by. We don't follow through to be faithful stewards of God. Meekness in hearing and in obeying the word is a must. James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God, or the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If the word of God can do this, and it can, then we ought to do it. We ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to write. Many will listen carefully to God's command to be baptized. However, when it comes to our character and the improvement of our character and trying to be as sinless as we can be, then we're not so quick to pursue it. We are to put away all filthiness from our lives. What are some of the things that will be included in this? Ethical and moral uncleanness, vulgarity, bad language, greediness, and such things. These are the real problems in our lives and in our hearts. It keeps us from being the stewards of God that we ought to be. Don't just be hearers of the word of God. Be obedient believers of the word. Make it real. Be a faithful believer. In James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, he says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. We must never forget that we are to be faithful servants or faithful stewards. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law, and he's talking about stewards there, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law, those who obey it. Stewardship is something that God requires in all of us, no matter our age, no matter our dispensation or what. The first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about these things, and I won't take the time to read it, but I would encourage you in that Sermon on the Mount, read it every day for a while, until you grasp the meaning of it. Well, what makes us faithful servants? Hanging in there. Don't give up. Be consistent in our pursuit to obey the Lord. I don't know what your condition is with the Lord. But if you're and you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to obey today. What does the Lord require of you? First, he wants you to believe, faith in him. Then he wants you to confess your faith in him. He wants you to be buried in the water grave of baptism, resurrected from that to walk in newness of life. And then the Lord will add you to his church. You'll be numbered among the saved. Your name will be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And you'll be saved. And then you have to be faithful to death to receive the crown of life. If you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we would encourage you to respond and ask you to indicate such by coming forward while together.